Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's message? It's upon the screen. Under Arrest. Based on Hebrews chapter 5, listen to these verses. We have many things to say, but you are slow to hear. You have need to be taught again the first principles of the Word of God and are like babes who need milk and not strong meat. Again, our theme is under arrest. And I invite you to open up your worship folder and find there the sermon outline, and you can follow along with the outline in front of you. Have any of you ever been under arrest or have come close to it? I have to stand before you this morning and confess that I have been arrested in the past. When I lived in Alberta, over a weekend, my mother, stepfather, and brother came up from the USA, and I took them to a national historic site east of Edmonton called Ukrainian Village. The people who worked at this site and gave the tour of the old farm sites and old schools and churches and stores dressed and acted and stayed in character as people from over 100 or 130 years ago. Toward the end of the tour, we visited a wonderful old general store filled with modern 1905 clothing and hardware and home supplies and paint and such. The proprietor was a wonderful actor. Upon our departure, he gave me a wonderful hug and bade us goodbye. As we walked down the dirt road of this main street, we heard soon the proprietor come out of his store yelling, "Stop thief! Stop thief!" And we looked around, and from the other direction came, Everett, you'll appreciate this, a man dressed in a period 1905 RCMP officer full costume running toward us. And then the proprietor came over to me and told the Mountie, "This man is a thief." "What?" And upon searching me, they found a paintbrush in my coat pocket. Ah, the proprietor must have planted it there when he gave me a hug. Well, crowds of tourists came to see the show, and the Mountie made a big deal of putting me on heavy iron shackles and leading me and announcing to the crowd, "This man is a thief." He threw me in the jail, slammed behind me big, heavy iron doors. I was embarrassed. My family thought it was hilarious. They said I looked pretty good as a hardened criminal. Well, soon, believe it or not, I got out because of good behavior. And that was the closest I've ever come in my life to being arrested. Now, I well imagine that most of you here today have never even come close in the criminal sense of being arrested. Yet, arrest has another meaning. A deeper meaning, and likely there are people here today, because there are many in our world, who are under arrest in another sense. When you look up the word arrest in the dictionary, here's the full definition you find, besides the criminal way. Arrest, ceasing to grow. The act of stopping or slowing. For example, we might say the growth of our economy has been arrested. The economy has slowed down or it stopped growing. Now, many people are not in jail because of being arrested criminally. And yet they are arrested today in a very profound sense. Look at your sermon outline. Some adults are emotionally arrested, so that their method of problem solving is to throw a chair, hit a wife, or rearrange the next door neighbor's face with a fist. Now, we might say that our children go through a stage of such emotional outbursts, but they outgrow it. But some adults, men and women, are emotionally arrested and still use this 5-year-old's method of problem solving. Other folks are socially arrested in relating to others. We may laugh when we hear a child say, "If we can't play my way, then I won't play at all, and I'm going to take my toys and go home." Now, arrested adults may act with a little more sophistication, but pretty much practice the same routine at home, at work, and even in the church. If I can't have it my way, then I won't play at all. But being spiritually arrested is the most common kind of arrest seen among church people today. Remember, arrested can mean ceasing to grow. Far too many Christians, far too many churchgoers, reach a minimum level of spiritual understanding and then decide, that's enough. No need to grow. No need to go deeper. Those of you who haven't seen it yet, and by the way, in your boxes every month we put a new edition of our Canadian Lutheran, the national magazine of our church body. In June 2014, this month's issue, there was an article that shared that in 2013, an exhaustive study was done, and just 14% of all Canadians said they read the Bible at least once a month. And just 23% of church people claimed the Bible has any relevance to their modern way of life. In our Lutheran church in North America, studies suggest that too many adults have the spiritual understanding, can you guess of what age? Of a 13-year-old. Why? Because after so many of our adults have finished confirmation instruction, they have never dug into or studied God's Word again. Could you be one of these people who is spiritually arrested and doesn't even want a pastor to bother you or to bring it up today? In our sermon text from Hebrews chapter 5, we are introduced to an entire congregation that was spiritually arrested. The writer of the book of Hebrews, perhaps St. Paul, loved those people too much not to address the issue, because he knew that spiritual arrest can lead to loss of faith, to spiritual death, and even to eternal death. Listen to what the writer wrote. "We have many things to say, but you are slow to hear. You have need to be taught again the first principles of the Word of God, and are like babes who need milk and not strong meat." These people were spiritually arrested. The passage says they were slow to hear, not because they didn't have a teacher, not because they didn't have opportunities to grow, but because they just seemed not to care or decided that other things in their lives were more important than growing in God's Word. The people addressed in this text are also described, quote, like babes needing milk and not solid food. Actually, it's pretty cute these days. Our little one-year-old granddaughter is just eating solid food like you would not believe. It's cute when we see a baby do that. Go from milk to solid food. But Paul says, the writer of the text says, the people of this congregation, they couldn't even handle solid food. They had separated themselves away from the feeding of God's holy word. This pastor wanted to take them deeper into the meat of God's word. The pastor wanted to take them deeper, but the people were satisfied with milk. "Oh, pastor," maybe we can hear them say, "don't get so serious. Don't call us to a deeper commitment to Jesus or his church." But the writer of Scripture knows that such spiritual arrest, ceasing or refusing to grow, can lead to spiritual death. Now, this morning, let's talk about just two other examples of being spiritually arrested in Scripture. There are a number. First, from John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" Jesus said, I say to you, unless one is born anew of the water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Who was Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a ruling member of the Pharisees. He was a recognized religious authority in the Jewish religion. But he was spiritually arrested. He was suffocating in the spiritual stranglehold of religious legalism. He was strangling in the countless got-tos and have-tos of Pharisaic self-righteousness. He was not finding answers. He was not getting closer to God, so he sought Jesus out at night to solve his case of being spiritually arrested. No, he met Jesus at night under cover of darkness so no one would find out that this religious man was so spiritually bankrupt. And Jesus tells him that he must be born again. And once Nicodemus gets past his misunderstanding of physical rebirth, he learns that what he really needs is something that we all need. He learned that what he really needed was a new start with God based on grace and faith, not upon striving to do good works to earn God's favor. Now, Jesus goes on in this account to free Nicodemus, to free him from his religious prison, to set Nicodemus free from spiritual arrest. And we know, according to the account of Holy Scripture, that Nicodemus came out from under the cover of darkness. For the Holy Scripture tells us in the Gospels that it was Nicodemus, along with another man, who became a public disciple of Jesus Christ the day, without shame, he took our Lord's body off the cross to give it proper burial after he died for the sins of the world. And after Jesus died and was buried, Nicodemus knew that Jesus rose from that tomb. That tomb on Easter Sunday that became Christ our Lord's pulpit. That he had victory over sin. Victory over your death and the devil as well. Now, I said earlier we talk about two additional cases of spiritual arrest. We talked about Nicodemus. You and I, today, we are case number two. Far too often, we're like the congregation described in Hebrews chapter 5. Far too often, we're like babes needing milk, not solid food. The church today, this church, our congregation, is far too satisfied with spiritual milk. Oh, pastor, just give me John 3:16. Some cute Bible stories in the children's message, and not too long of a sermon with a funny story, maybe, and that's enough. But don't call me to a deeper faith or a deeper commitment to Jesus in the church, you see, because I'm comfortable in my state of spiritual arrest. Or perhaps we more resemble Nicodemus. Are you suffocating in the religious stranglehold of legalism? Are you trying to earn God's favor by doing good deeds, by being good people, by striving to keep the commandments? Do you try and fail again and try and fail again and go around and around in a circle of guilt that leads you either to pride, well, at least I'm better than him, or to despair? There's no way I can ever measure up. If so, today, have I got some good news for you. our Lord Jesus Christ, look at him, who died there on the cross for your sins and for mine. He has set us free. He will set us free. He wants to set us free. Freedom is what he came to bring. Now listen carefully with both ears, mind, and heart to this string of precious passages from God's inerrant precious word. Listen to what he says. Romans 6:18. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. Romans 6:22. But now you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, and the result is eternal life. Romans 8, verse 2. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of the Spirit of death. And Galatians 5, verse 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. My friends, today, the way that our God delivers that spiritual freedom to us is through the preaching and the teaching and the reading and the studying of God's holy word. Look at what Luther says. Luther says the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is the cradle for Christ. The purpose for a cradle, as any of us know, is to hold the baby. Luther says the purpose of Holy Scriptures is to hold the Christ child and to deliver him to us. In every page of Holy Scripture, Christ, our dear Lord, speaks to our heart. He draws you close to him. He assures you that you are his beloved daughter. The Holy Scripture not only is the cradle of Christ, it is God's love letter just for you. When summer is over, we start our fall Bible study classes again. Sunday school, Sunday Bible class, Sunday ESL class, Tuesday morning men's group, Wednesday morning women's group, Friday evening youth and young adult group, and also this fall, I'm excited to offer to our congregation the fruits of my 3-month sabbatical that you so lovingly granted me from January to March. I'll be offering to you a study on one of the most misunderstood and yet important books of the whole Scripture, the book of Revelation. Keep note in the back of your mind, this class will likely be offered on a Wednesday night, and later in this year, I'll be asking you for a commitment to attend. But I ask you already to look toward September and to plan with Nicodemus to make a brand new start in gathering here with God's people to study his holy word. All throughout the week, so many choices. Because in the study of God's word, God promises to set us free from spiritual arrest. How does he do that? In this holy word of God, we hear the precious blood-bought gospel. The great new good news of our Savior Jesus dying upon a cross and rising from the tomb to set us free. Free from the wrath of a holy God because of our sin. Free from the accusations and the guilt of the devil. Free from the power of the grave. Free to live in the joy and in the assurance of the love of Almighty God for us that is with us in this life and waits one day to take us home to him forever in heaven. Jesus said of himself in John 8, verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. My dear friends, in the mighty name of Jesus, You can cast off your chains, burst through your dark prison doors, and march into God's sunshine and freedom. Are you under arrest? In Jesus' name, I say to you, no, you are free. Now go and live in that freedom. And let the Word of God dwell richly in your hearts and in your homes. In the name of Jesus. Amen.